From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October 29th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today in London, UK at Bentley's Year in Infrastructure 2013 conference.
Last Monday, Google announced Google Maps Engine Pro. This is the new member of the Maps Engine family, and it's aimed at business users. The company also announced a partnership with Safe Software and a public data program. What are the implications of these announcements for existing GIS users? We'll look at that after a word from our sponsor.
Directions Magazine is the leader in geospatial technology webinars. If your organization is interested in more sales leads, stronger brand awareness, and positioning your company as a key thought leader, then let us help you deliver a professionally produced live event that reaches a global audience. For more information on both our 30 and 60-minute webinar formats, go to www.geospatialwebinars.com.
Now, let me make sure everybody's on the same page with Google Maps Engine, because there's a number of products and it's had some iterations, and I know going into this announcement I didn't have my head wrapped around it. Google Maps Engine was once called Google Earth Builder and it got renamed, and that's sort of the high-end product. And then there's one down at the low end which is called Google Maps Engine Lite. And that's the one that eventually is going to replace the Google My Maps. That's sort of the free one, non-commercial. You can have three layers. It's kind of the freebie one. Where Google Maps Engine Pro comes in is it's sort of in the middle. So you can get sort of that range of products. So what is Google Maps Engine Pro? Well, it sounds like it's aimed at small businesses, people who are not developers. It costs $5 a month. It allows you to data on maps, take a spreadsheet, drop it on the map, share the maps, and you have up to 10 layers as opposed to the freebie, which only has 3 layers. So that was sort of the big announcement of this new product, but there were a number of announcements related to Google Maps Engine in general. One has to do with toolbar for QGIS and ArcGIS to move data from those products up into Google Maps Engine. There's a mobile app viewer, Android only, someday maybe on other platforms, that allows you to view data from any of the three Google Maps Engine products on your mobile. And Google announced a partnership with Safe Software such that coming in January 2014, there's going to be access to 18 different GIS data formats that can be moved into and out of Google Maps Engine. That comes with Google Maps Engine, but if you pay for a full FME license, you can use all of the formats that FME supports. So that was sort of a whole range of announcements, some aimed at people new to GIS, some aimed at GIS professionals. And what I want to do is take a look at what all this means. So let's start with Google Maps Engine Professional, the one aimed at business. And Joe, since you come from the business geographics space, what is your sense of that product? Who is it aimed at? Does it compare to the things that are already out there? What makes it special?
The most compelling thing that makes it special, I think you mentioned, which was the price. It's, as you said, $5 per user per month. The functionality, though, is pretty light. If, for all intents and purposes, it's a stripped-down version of Google Maps Engine and does very limited things. Google Maps Engine does millions of points versus thousands of points, lines, and polygons for Google Maps Engine Pro. To answer your question, it's very basic business mapping, and it does it cheaply. If the only distinguishing factor is that it's cheap, that's okay to a point, because if you look at the broader picture in business mapping, which is who this is aimed at, according to Vinay Goel, who we interviewed, the Google Maps product director, it's so basic that you have to look at what else is out there on the market, which are integrated with standard business tools. You have Esri Maps for Excel. You have Microsoft's Power Map, a tool that can be embedded with Excel. And if you're already using one of those existing players in business intelligence at the higher end, like Oracle, or even niche players like Tableau, you can spatially enable data already. So what I see Google wanting to do is enable mapping for the mainstream. But my issue is that it has been a rather disjointed roadmap, and you alluded to it in your opening, which is there are so many products out there that Google has named. You have Maps API, you have Google Maps Coordinate, which comes under this umbrella of Google Maps for Business. And to me, not just the roadmap is somewhat disjointed, but that naming convention is somewhat funky as well. And Google Maps Coordinate is really a product for field force automation, scheduling, and routing.
And you'd never know that from the name, yeah.
No, not so. And then you have Google Earth Pro and Google Earth Enterprise. I don't think they've laid out the roadmap for product succession or functionality quite well. And again, you said they've renamed some products. They've made it a little confusing and disjointed. To go back to your question, if you're the business user, you're going to have a little challenge on your hands trying to discern which of the products I use for whatever, basic business mapping, integrating mapping with spreadsheets. I just think it's a little confusing.
I think it's a lot confusing. I think you're being very generous. And I think some of the motivation may come from a different corner. And it was Fortune magazine that made this statement, and it really struck me as, wow, that's really it. Fortune said, in effect, it's not so much a new product as a new pricing model for existing technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got the free and you got the high end. And in a sense, we already have the technology, so let's package it in this new way with this new pricing model. And then we'll say it's for business. And let me go back to that point that you made about naming. Why isn't this called Google Maps Engine for Business?
Very good point. And I've had the same thought, because if you look at one of their websites, it says they had the name, right? It had Google Maps for Business. And then they put all of these sub-products under that umbrella. So I think they had the name.
And then they decided not to use it. And I guess the other problem is, from my understanding of Google Maps Engine Pro, which I really want to call Google Maps for Business, there's no specific business functionality right now. So far as I know, it's a data visualization tool. You take your data from your spreadsheet and you put dots on a map, and then you share the map. And you can maybe draw on the map, and you can do some analysis with your brain, but there's no actual analysis in there.
Again, I go back to a statement that we've had a discussion before, in which I asked Vinay Goel, which is, are they going to include some of the functionality of Fusion tables? Now, here's a set of tool that I find incredibly useful that Google has provided, and yet they continue to not put it into their mapping products. It's a very nice query engine. I'm confused again by the roadmap, that if you're going to lead a user down the path of increasing value, then you're going to want to lead them to increasing functionality. And that is not evident right now, because what happens with these very basic mapping tools, and this started way back in the early 90s when MapInfo first came out.
And MapPoint.
This
made me think of that, and yet this doesn't even have, this has a little finger of the functionality of MapPoint.
Right, and you see what happens is you eventually have a user that moves up the value chain to wanting more and more functionality. They exhaust what they do in basic business mapping, and they want more. They want querying. They want to integrate more business data. So this does not get them there at all. That's going to be a problem for Google at this point.
Yeah, your point about Fusion tables is well taken, because if I understand it correctly, when you use a Google Fusion table, you have to take your spreadsheet of data and upload it to a Google spreadsheet of data, and then you use that to make the map. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
Right. So that's a really good thing, because it keeps you knit into this Google universe. So you would think that you would want that. And yet, that doesn't sound like how this works. This you take your CSV file or whatever, and you upload it directly.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you want to – why aren't we integrating what Google already has?
Right. You want to stay in the Google domain.
The vision was not 100% clear there. What is your advice to Google to make this more successful? What would you suggest they do? Besides changing the name, yeah.
Yeah, I would lay out the functionality. They have a chart there comparing Google Maps Engine with Google Maps Engine Pro. I think that was a good start. I'd continue down that path. I'd want to know, here's the product name, here's the functionality, here's what I get, here's the pricing. Make it very, very clear.
And maybe put some more businessy things into Google Maps Pro if, in fact, it is for business.
And you know, that's the issue, right? They're not necessarily talking the language of business. They're almost too Google-focused, right? They think that anything that says Google is going to be immediately accepted. And there's too many other choices out there.
Well said. Now, let's move on to the other big announcement, which is actually maybe bigger for the geospatial community, and that's this relationship with Safe Software that's going to connect all of these different data formats to Google Maps Engine. Now, that to me is really sort of opening up the Google universe to the GIS professional universe. The most exciting thing about that is, as much as we like to think that we have all of the tools that we need, especially as governments, to get our data out and shared and used by the community, I know when I go to a site that's an ArcGIS online implementation of a government, I have to like think about how to use it. It's not what I use every day. It's unfamiliar. Sometimes just finding the map is hard. But if you present me with a Google map, I get it because that's what I use every day. And I think there's going to be a lot of interest just to have a very straightforward way to get the data, that my professional GIS data, up and out on a Google map with no muss, no fuss.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the partnership with Safe is very smart. They are the leader in data conversion. There's an understanding by Google that more data exists in other formats than exists in KML or KMZ or Google Docs. I think the question you should be asking is, what does this presage? I think it's another step toward making Google Maps the de facto tool for spatial analysis or mapping. And remember, I'm not talking, at least yet, of the types of spatial analysis that you can do with Esri or with Oracle. I'm talking about the 80% solution, or even the 60% solution. So if Google owns 60% of the solution for mapping, they have a sizable portion of the mapping feature stack that kind of renders GIS companies more to niche status. So I think it was a very smart move.
That 60% or the 80% that you're talking about, it's putting dots on the map and getting those maps out to the people who need to use them.
Yeah, and I've said for a time, I think that despite what I criticize them for with Google Maps Engine Pro, I think that they are trying to move into the business world in a way that gets people into the Google domain. I wish they had done it differently, but I think this is a step with the Safe Software partnership.
Now, the last announcement that was made, it certainly was not made to us, and it was pointed out by a TechCrunch article, and that's this entity called the Google Maps Engine Public Data Program. Another handful of words. This is a way for people who have authoritative public data to have Google host it in Google Maps Engine, make it findable via Google search. It doesn't necessarily go into the Google Maps database, although you can nominate it to be. But it's sort of another place, another way to get your data hosted for free on the web. And this is part, I think, of Google's, we want to organize the world's data. This is some of the world's data. And I think it's also part of creating this relationship, especially with authoritative sources like cities and counties and whatnot, either before they get plugged into sort of the ESRI solution for data hosting or into the GitHub solution for hosting. And the hard part for these counties and cities is, I mean, it would be lovely if they could share their data with everybody, but the licensing may not work out, and they may not have the energy to make sure that ESRI and Google and GitHub all have their data. So to me, this is another one of these places where you have to have your data, maybe.
Yeah, and doesn't it sound exactly like what Esri is trying to do with its community maps, right? I mean, it's a similar model, is it not?
Well, community maps, the idea is that we're going to plug it into our data set. This, it just sits alone by itself, just out there and available. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a different model. And that means, I think, there's less pain involved in giving your data to Google. When you give your data to ESRI, you have to follow templates and there's some work involved there.
Yeah, it seems like it all comes under this umbrella of data democratization. Get it out there, share it with more people. And maybe it comes down to more of a licensing issue than anything else.
Right, and that's always the tricky part in these is you know, you gotta read the licenses and make sure it's going to work for you. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
And from us here at Directions, if you didn't get the answers you needed from us about the relationship with Google and in particular with Safe Software, we invite you to a webinar on November 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern, where they will be talking about how it's enabling migration with Safe Software FME to the cloud from GIS and line of business applications. And also from us, yesterday we announced the dates and venue for the Location Intelligence Conference 2014. It will be bigger and better than ever with our partner Oracle that will be hosting their 10th Oracle Spatial Summit. And our new corporate partners here, Anokia Business and the Eclipse Foundation's Location Tech Working Group. For more details, go to locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is posted @directionsmagazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.